you explore the edges and perhaps areas beyond your comfort zone, expanding your comfort zone. אחת שאלתי ואותה בקש, כי אם לשבת בבית השם כל ימי חיי. There's one thing that I'm seeking, and that is to dwell in the house of the divine all of my days. So that's the trajectory or the direction of our practice, which is where our comfort zone goes from being a very small area to being all of life, wherever we are alive and in whatever circumstance. We have that sense of being at home. If you think for a second, when you feel really at home, what is that like for you? What comes up? What qualities?
Relaxed, peaceful, cozy.
Yeah, relaxed, peaceful, cozy. Surrender, like letting go. Yeah, kind of like put it all down. So usually we're dependent on our physical home, physical circumstances, and certain people to enable that for us. I know that very acutely at the moment as I've been seeking home and not having it. But more and more, when we develop a less reactive and a more intentional way of being, that relaxed, peaceful, cozy, the letting go of surrender as our way of being, then we have the at-homeness, both at home and away from home. It's that quality, that way of being, which allows us to open to the world as being divine. To allow ourselves to feel the welcome of being a guest in the home of the divine. So last week we were in Parshat Noach, comfort. And this week we move from the comfort zone to Lech Lecha, Lecha, to you, go to you, to yourself. Rashi says, L'tovatcha u'la'anatcha. Go, leave your comfort zone, and it's for your own good and your own benefit that you do so. We go into the Lech Lecha, into the ever-unfolding journey and adventure of life, of experience, and move from Noach to Abraham. And Noach is an important quality, being able to be at ease, Ninoach, amidst our experience, to rest in stillness, to settle. And it paves the way for Abraham, for that which emerges once we have settled, when we have let go into the current which wants to come through each one of us, the life which wants to live through each of us, which wants to be lived through you. And there's a big shift which can happen when we shift into the mode embodied by Abraham. He's an example and an archetype of this kind of seed potential which is waiting to be born out in each of our lives. A seed, right, when it has the right conditions, it's planted, it has water or sunshine, then the seed will break down and will release its potential and can grow into the most beautiful of creations. We have two movements in our lives, stillness and doing. Most of us don't know stillness very well. We are so estranged from stillness, from what it means to be a human being, that we live only in the mode of human doing. Doing, 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 doing. Even if we're sitting still, as many of us notice right now in our practice, The mind is still doing. Shabbat is meant to be a tikkun for that. A sheva, a sitting down, a shvita, a ceasing. That's the original meaning of Shabbat. That brings us back into alignment with creation. What does it mean to be aligned with creation? So let's look at what we're told. The second verse I wrote here on the board from the second creation story in Bereshit in Genesis. Eile toldot shamayim va'aretz behi baram. A difficult verse to translate in a way which captures the meaning there. These are the generations of the heavens and earth. What I've said, in their inter-emergence. Behi baram. My teacher, Rav Daniel, says that word is one of the most important words in the Chumash, and one which we don't see in that form elsewhere. Behi baram, it's a passive form. It says, Eile todot, these. So our sages teach us that this is, when it says these, it's coming to replace the previous way that the creation story was told. We know that in Bereshit we have two creation stories. The first one, which is so familiar, that God places all of the different creatures, it's Bar'am. He created them. It's a top-down procedure. The creations are created individually. And here we have a whole paradigm shift. Ele toldot, it's generative. One thing leads to another, it gives rise to another. And Behi Bar'am suggests that they are emerging. If you think about a flower, the flower emerges, it comes out, it blossoms. Creation is unfolding. The divine here is not operating from an outside, top-down placing mode, but rather the divine is that impulse, is that urge, is that life force which gives rise to life, which gives rise to creativity. If you've ever had an experience of being in flow, perhaps in art or in music, then there's a dance to it. Think about it: jazz musicians playing off each other in the excitement, or people who you love just playing with and joking with. I have this experience with my siblings. Kind of, once somebody says something, and then it's, you know, back and forth in the most joyful, excited, fun play. That's what play is. It comes to replace the top-down mode. That's what the sages are teaching us, that the essence of creation, to be aligned with creation, means to be aligned with this mode, this unfolding, the freedom, rather than, you know, the way many of us often approach life, which is to know things ahead of time, to plan it all ahead of time, and then stick to the plan. So notice that expression, to plan it ahead of time, mirosh, that it all comes from the head down. So I don't have anything against the head, I quite like it, quite like mine. But there's a different kind of understanding and knowing, a whole different kind of experience of life, when you start with a plan and then you let go into what's here. We let the next step emerge from being fully present in this step. In the beginning of our parsha, God says to Avram, Lech lecha mi'artzecha u'mimolaletcha u'mibeit avicha el ha'aretz asher arecha. Go, emphatically, or go to yourself, leaving your land, your birthplace, your father's house, to the land that I'll show you. So he says very specifically what it is that's to be left behind. And where we're supposed to go, it's quite vague. The place that I'll show you. So what struck me recently reading this verse is that in order for the next place to emerge, what God's saying is, you know this place very well. In fact, it's your whole life. Once you have been intimate and really present in that place, then the next step can emerge. We can't skip steps, otherwise we start to feel a gap between our experience of life and the real vitality. But when we're really in it, not clinging to it, because if we're clinging to it, there's no movement. Then there's a stagnation and a stasis. But when we let go, then the natural movement in life begins to emerge. So some people think, oh, if I really let go, then I won't do anything. That's not true. That's probably more of an indication that they've become so estranged from the movement of life, the only way they know to do things is in a controlling way. But actually, there is a movement to a life, to each of our lives. And the more we practice letting go, which we do in this minute way of, oh, okay, feeling. And then thinking that, oh, feeling. Undoing that conditioning which takes us away from ourselves. That's Avraham. There's an extraordinary teaching that in this verse, the word Bahi Baram, which I translated in their inter-emergence, is actually the same letters as Avraham. Aleph, Bet, Reish, Hey, Min. And the Hey, when it's written that way in the Torah, is actually written small. It's a little letter. And the Zohar teaches that that Hey was placed there for Avraham. And Avraham received that Hey when he discovered the divine and when he entered the covenant, entered the breach. So what is it that he discovered? Hey, there's a beautiful YouTube series that I discovered today by Rabbi Fragman on the secrets of the Hebrew letters, by the way. Hey is for Havaya, which is one of the ways that we refer to the divine, and it means being, it means presence. A very different connotation, by the way, from the word God. Havaya, being, reality, presence. And what Avraham discovered is that presence which is being, which pervades all of reality. That rather than a sense of separateness, like that initial story, there is actually a kinship, a shared being amongst us all and amongst all creation and all creatures. It's no surprise then that Avraham, having discovered that kinship, becomes known for the defining midah, the defining quality of kindness. Kindness and kinship, of course, come from the same word. In the book, The Education of Little Tree, there's a lovely story of a Native American grandparents and their granddaughter who lives with them. And they, instead of saying, I love you, they say, I kin you. I kin you. We can recognize the fundamental shared reality and experience. And this is intimately related to our own practice, because the more that we become intimate with our own experience, the more we develop our capacity to feel life and to be present with it in all of its richness and all of its challenge, the more we become intimate with that human experience, which is universal to all beings. The more when somebody is engaging us or interacting with us from a place of suffering, rather than get caught up in the surface of the way that they may be communicating, we can see through to the fundamental experience of suffering. And because we've had that same experience of unpleasant resistance, we become familiar with all of the ways that we do that, and the ways that unconsciousness gives rise to. And we develop compassion because we know that experience of struggle and suffering. I was in a taxi today, and I asked the taxi driver, I think I asked him to turn off the air conditioning, and he responded with a kind of annoyed tone. And at first I was annoyed. I was like, I'm paying for the taxi. But then I paid more attention to the tone, and I heard this really in some ways sweet suffering of, oh, I don't actually, meaning what I heard behind that was, I don't want to turn off the air conditioning, and I don't know how to communicate in any other way than being kind of passive aggressive and annoyed. And then I noticed a bit of opening and softening in my heart of, oh, to live that way, to only know how to communicate that way, I asked them to turn down the radio of all the taxi guys. Not to turn it off, just to turn it down. And it's like, how am I going to be able to hear it? You know, it's like, wow. That's the way that a person is living. Wow. So what Abraham discovered was hay. It's the hay of covenant. And at the covenant, Abraham gives up his orla, his foreskin. He's circumcised. And I wrote an equation in my notes. Avram minus Orla equals Abraham. So with a little bit of algebra, that produces the lack of Orla equals the hay. So what does that mean? The Orla, we're born with it. That's the foreskin. It's protective. It's what keeps us from being vulnerable. It's what stands between very vulnerable and very sensitive feeling and all of life. And the brit, the covenant, the stepping into the dynamic relation with Havaya, with life, is the removing of the orla. That's what it means to be in covenant. It means to stay in a relationship. And it's so striking, the orla is natural, right? That those reactions that we have to protect ourselves, to push away the unpleasant, to pull on the pleasant and get it to stay here, those are natural evolutionary tendencies. There's nothing inherently mistaken about that. But what we realize and what we come to in our practice is to see, how does that affect my life? What kind of life does it lead to? And the covenant that leads us into this deep alignment with creation, to become participant in creation, is letting go of that, allowing myself to be touched by life, to be moved, paying attention to what life is coming up in me, and being able, through practice, to have the courage, meaning the heart, openness of heart and clarity, to be able to let that take me, to let that become my life.
Ask something about the taxi driver.
Yes, please do.
Isn't that like a judgment that, you know, because I often, for one thing, I'm very judgmental and I often have things that are bothering me or people that are bothering me. And that would also bother me, that how can you listen to that dispatcher, that taxi dispatcher, at that volume all day long.
Right.
But is that a judgment that my way is better, like the silence and the calmness, where maybe, you know, that's, I don't know, you know, those are his friends, that's his connection, that's his music.
Yeah, beautiful. So when I heard you say that, like, how can you listen to that dispatcher and that noise all day long, I hear some... I think kind of like frustration or consternation in your own experience. I mean, maybe what's under that is, like, from your experience, when I hear that, I'm annoyed, I want quiet. And often because of our deep, deep conditioning and social conditioning of thousands of years, that comes out as a how can you, rather than, oh, when I hear this, I find it really annoying because I'd like more calm or more stillness.
Yeah, but what you said is like you felt sorry for him.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, first I noticed my own experience. I was wanting something different. And then I noticed what I was hearing in his voice, which wasn't reflecting to me. Or rather, what I noticed was his reaction to me. He may enjoy that, and that's great for him. And if we can be peaceful with noise, then that's fantastic. But what I was picking up on was his particular way of responding to a request, which was a very simple request, and he could have said no. But, you know, it seems like he doesn't have the options in his mind to say, no, I'd rather not do that, or to say yes and to be able to contain his own annoyance. It's responding like, well, I'm going to begrudgingly oblige because I think I'm supposed to, and all of these top-down things. There's a lot to go into around judgment, and I hope that we'll dedicate some time to that later in the year. So the last thing I'll say, because our time is now up, is that according to the Kabbalists, as my teacher Rav Daniel was saying, the letter He is significant of the Rechem, of the womb. So the womb, it's also one of the names of the divine, Rahman or Rahman, the enwombing one. So we think about what are the qualities of the womb? Nurturing, holding space, loving, caring, safety. So we want to bring that same quality of that He of the womb to our own experience. When we bring it to our own experience, then we can hold what's here, and what's here can give birth then to what's next, to the next bit of aliveness for us. So there's, as always,